Hello, this is Gretchen Gondek, and I am joined by Dr. Richard Steinbach, who is the new executive director of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. And we're going to be talking about an exciting Beethoven program coming up with our symphony.
Hi, Gretchen. Happy to be with you again.
Well, it's great to see you. It always is, Richard. And I know you've been very busy in your new position, and you're still doing some classes at Briarcliff, and you're performing. So you're a very busy guy.
Never a dull moment.
No. Let's revisit the December concert. I wouldn't consider myself a big jazz person, but the jazz arrangements I found to be very accessible. What kind of feedback did you get on the concert?
Yeah, people were raving about this concert. It was really so wonderful that it was both available on our new live streaming, on-demand streaming, SCSO Live, which has really transformed the symphony. You mentioned the arrangements. The Haig brothers, Jeremy Haig, is a wonderful composer and pianist and singer. And so it was just the perfect group to have there. And the young singer who graduated from East High School, she was just stunning.
She knocked my socks off. That was amazing.
It is available right now, anytime you can stream in the comfort of your home at SCSO, Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, SCSO.live. So yeah, catch it. And you know, it's Christmas, but people have commented to me that they're still watching it. They're re-watching it because it does have that jazz flavor. And The Haig brothers, of course, are based out of Sioux Falls. They were thrilled to be performing with the symphony orchestra. They'd never performed with the symphony with them. And the whole thing, Ryan Haskins, produced that concert and the lighting and the effects. And then we have this wonderful production team, Adam Gontrowski, Matt Townley, and Brian Adams. And yes, and while we're talking about broadcasts and our new streaming service, I have to send a shout out to the Kind World Foundation, to the Gilchrist Foundation, to the Iowa Arts Council, National Endowment for the Arts, because through those grants and through our supporters, we basically have been able to invest in this top-notch, world-class equipment and have essentially turned the Orpheum Theater into our own television studio. It's quite amazing.
Well, you have every right to be pleased and proud because it was just wonderful. I'm watching it in the living room, having a gin and tonic and some popcorn. And we really, really very much enjoyed it. So congratulations. I think you're off to a great start.
Thank you.
And it doesn't end there because you have an all Beethoven chamber music program coming up as well. And you are really heavily involved in this next production.
Yes, yeah, I was thrilled to be a part of this. Really the first ever Sioux City Symphony Orchestra chamber music series. As I said earlier, this new SCSO Live streaming service has just opened all these doors for us, and we're able to reach audiences anywhere through this streaming app. And one of the wonderful things to come out of this that, again, Maestro Ryan Haskins created was a six-concert chamber music series. 15 musicians are featured on this in various ensembles combination. And then there were two pianists, and I was very honored to be one of the pianists, the collaborative pianists on these concerts, and then Dr. Susan Gray from the University of South Dakota. So Susan and I worked very hard, a lot of notes. You know, the pianist always gets the most notes. We call them the accompanists sometimes. Mm-hmm. And essentially, in most repertoire, most of the notes are in the piano. But anyway, I might be a little prejudiced.
Well, doesn't that give you bragging rights?
I hope so, because it's yeah, no, it's really wonderful. The first three concerts on this series are Beethoven 250. So 2020 was the 250th anniversary of Beethoven's birth, and of course 2020 was kind of a sketchy year, right?
Right.
Pandemic, and we're about a month, we're now into 2021, but we really wanted to celebrate with Beethoven, and again, Ryan Haskins has put together these really diverse group of pieces, some real rare gems that, you know, are very rarely heard. He's going to curate the whole series, so it's really going to be wonderful, tracing Beethoven's whole life through chamber music. So, you know, you'll be hearing the septet that he wrote, a very unusual work for clarinet and horn and bassoon and strings. Flute duo. Which is very rarely heard. And of course the string quartet, violin sonatas, horn sonatas, so a real diverse spectrum of Beethoven's chamber works.
Sounds fascinating, and I love the fact that you're shining the light on our very talented orchestra players for this concert. And I would say, knowing you, Richard, and, you know, our genius conductor, Ryan Haskins, it isn't just the musical programming side of the symphony that the both of you are doing. It is handling technology, logistics, and making all of these different pieces and elements come together. And we see it on the television, it's like, oh, wow. I don't know if people realize how much work goes into producing that, yeah.
It is. It really is a huge undertaking, now all of the productions from now on will be filmed. So when you're sitting in the Orpheum Theater experiencing the live concerts, they're also going to be filmed at that same time, live streamed at that same time, and then will be available on the SESO Live app. So you can, if you went to the Queen concert and you just loved it, you could go home and watch it again on SESO Live.
Now, you are going to be opening the Orpheum to a limited number of people, or has that been postponed?
No, we are back. We are back live at the Orpheum on March 20th. So there are three live concerts scheduled. So March 20th is the first one, Symphonic String. So it's going to be a whole evening of featuring the beautiful, rich sounds of the orchestra strings. Music of Edward Grieg, Howard Hanson, Vaughn Williams, Percy Grainger. Will be very extremely COVID safe. Masks, social distancing, everyone will be seated in their separate pods. So there are limited seats. Of course, our season subscribers will
have first crack at
They have their seats reserved. Hopefully we will have box office tickets too, but the Orpheum Theater has set it up and quadranted off all the seats in safe COVID It'll be a shorter concert, just a straight through, no intermission, smaller orchestra, so they're kept very safe and socially distanced. And, you know, I think there's really no substitute for that live experience in the Orpheum. So March 20th, we will be back, and you can join us at the Orpheum. Or if you'd rather watch from home, then it's, of course, going to be live streamed and permanently on SESO Live.
Wonderful. Can we talk about what's coming up after March?
Yes, then the next concert is Simple Gifts on April 24th. So we start March 20th and then April 24th, Simple Gifts, which is going to feature Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring. So again, it'll be a smaller orchestra, but you know, what a beautiful classic work that is. It's also going to feature Stravinsky's The Soldier's Tale, which is a nice chamber piece.
Oh, yes.
And and then also the American composer William Grant Still. He's known as the Dean of African American Composer. And then we top it off in June, kind of a little later, June 12th. And that is Glorious Brass, 20 members of the symphony's brass section and percussion, brass and percussion. So it'll be, you know, dazzling fanfares and majestic brass choirs. And I think a really good exciting contrast to the other two concerts.
I'm thinking still of Appalachian Spring, and I'm thinking about that wonderful CD that you did that is in the Siouxland Public Media Library.
Oh.
And those wonderful, I'm picky about my arrangements, but the arrangements of the Copland songs are exquisite, and
you
perform them brilliantly. I love those, and I love Aaron Copland.
Yes, yeah. He is. His music, he is groundbreaking, of course, kind of the patriarch of American contemporary music. And The Simple Gifts, that is also one of my favorite arrangements of that. It's by Mark Hayes. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it's by Joseph Martin. Joseph Martin. So, the Fusion album.
yeah.
So.
And I'm thinking of the fact that listeners probably know this, that it was actually commissioned and choreography by the very great Martha Graham.
Yes, the collaboration there, famous collaboration of the two of them. So, yes. I had the exciting privilege of playing a movement of the Beethoven Tempest, and the Tempest Sonata, the Opus 31, number 2, is just such a unique work. There's a Shakespeare reference there. Evidently, when someone asked Beethoven what the first movement of this meant, he said Shakespeare, meaning the Shakespeare Tempest. But I played the last movement, it's, you know how there's certain pieces that just touch you so deeply, and this is a piece that's been with me a lot of my life, and it's passionate, and there's just a lot of striving and angst and struggle and anguish, which Beethoven's life was full of. This piece was written at a time where his deafness was really becoming real, and so the depression from that, you know. But there's also this intense beauty in this piece too. That with Beethoven, there's almost always this, there's a struggle, but then there's redemption. There's always a moment of that. And so it's about 7 minutes of continuous eighth notes. As is so typical with Beethoven, he usually takes just a short little motive of a few notes and evolves an entire movement. If, you know, if you think of the Beethoven fifth, four notes, ba 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 bum. This one is also on four notes, da dee da dum, and it's just this kind of longing motive, and it goes on for 7 minutes of just this journey, and so it was thrilling to record that, film that.
It is a tragedy when you think of this brilliant man going deaf, and the body and scope of the music that he composed is just phenomenal. And I read that he suffered from Crohn's disease. And of course, back then, no penicillin, no antibiotics. You know, surgery was pretty crude. And they tried to, the doctor tried to, get some of the fluid off of his abdomen, which was greatly distended. And in doing so, of course he was, infected, and died soon after. Composing on his deathbed.
You know, he has a reputation of, being kind of a rascal and not a very warm, fuzzy person. But when you think of the struggles of that, now his deafness, of course, happened later. And so all of the sounds and everything were already in his mind and in his soul. So it in certain ways, his deafness led to an even greater sense of composition and introspection, really. So it didn't hinder that in any way, but of course he wasn't able to hear his own works, only in his head. So yeah, all the struggles, and as you said, the health, there were reasons for his being kind of a not warm, fuzzy kind of guy. So
and you mentioned earlier in our conversation that Ryan will be talking about the music, and I think education with classical music is very, very important. And I don't know of anybody who does that better than Ryan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the other pieces I performed, a very short, quiet piece, the Bagatelle for Elisa, which everybody knows that as the signature Beethoven. We don't really know who Elisa was exactly. They thought that she was the famous opera singer Elisabeth Ruckel, who Beethoven evidently had a flirtatious relationship. But, you know, he was never married and everything is very secretive, so no one really knows. But it's a piece that, you know, a lot of young children play, and it's been played, which is very dangerous sometimes to a piece of music, but it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful, and I had a wonderful time recording that gem. It's not an easy piece, actually. So that's part of it, you know, from the Tempest and all these huge works to something like this little Bagatelle that you know, shows the whole scope of Beethoven. So
sounds charming. Can't wait to hear it.
And I'll just mention briefly, too, there are the first three concerts of the sixth are the Beethoven 250 series. And then following that, probably after the March concert going into April and May, the Dvorak Quintet is going to be one of the concerts, an entire concert focused on that. The quintet adding the double bass to the other four strings. Then Trailblazers after that is focused on all women composers who many of whom, unfortunately, are lesser known. So Ryan has just picked out this wonderful music. I had the opportunity to play one of those pieces by a really hot new composer in America, Jennifer Higdon. And it's for flute and cello and piano. And I worked with Stephanie Coker at USD and Corinne Bolt from Lincoln, who are both symphony players, of course. And this piece, three movement piece, oh my God, it was one of the most difficult pieces we have ever played, like life-threatening pieces. But we did it, and we got it all on film, and it's American Landscapes. So she depicted Georgia O'Keeffe and Jackson Pollock and Andrew Wyeth. So each movement is an American artist. And then the final concert, we're looking ahead, of course, is the Nielsen Woodwind Quintet. So Ryan's kind of featured the strings and the brass and just did a wonderful job. So six concerts coming up at your fingertips.
Wow. And if people need to know more about the app or attending a live performance.
Yes.
Or have any other questions about like a season membership.
Yes.
Or single ticket sales, they can contact the symphony.
Yes, call Trinette at 712-277-2111.
Sometimes really wonderful things come out of bad times.
Yes.
And so this is exciting, and we're cheering you on all the way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. This has been Gretchen Gondek in dialogue with Richard Steinbach, who is Executive Director of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra.